Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for the last 7 Sundays, we've been talking about the way of salvation. And this morning, we'll be completing the 8th and final lesson in this series. Now, if you've missed any of them, I'd encourage you to go to our website and download them. Our website address is independencebaptist.org, and you'll find all the prior radio broadcasts under the audio section of that website. But for now, let's go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Reynolds as he finishes up on our lesson about the way of salvation.
Hebrews 2 and verse 18 states this, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to succor them that are tempted." You ever been tempted? It is because that you are a human being. Jesus Christ was also tempted. What does that prove? That proves that Jesus Christ was a human. It also proves something else. Because he overcame temptation, that also proves that he is the Son of the living God. This is referring to the immutability of Christ, or the impossibility of Christ ever succumbing to temptation at all. Listen, it is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 2 and verse 18. "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted." So it's not a sin to be tempted. Satan always attacks us with many different kinds of sin, but temptation is his difficulty. It is not ours. Satan wants to make his temptation turn into our sin. But the Bible declares very clearly in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, where it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." The Holy Spirit of God led Christ into the wilderness for one purpose. That one purpose was that he might be tempted of the devil. Let me read to you the book of Matthew 4 and verse number 1 again. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." The Holy Spirit of God is just as much a part of the Godhead as Christ. He is as perfect as Christ because he is God just as much as Christ is God. The Spirit of God would never cause Christ to sin. Therefore, the Holy Spirit leading Christ into the wilderness was not sin. But it was for the purpose of publicly proclaiming that Christ is an active part of the Godhead. It was for the purpose of proving once and for all that it was completely impossible for Christ to sin. Jesus Christ is the Son of the everlasting God. Jesus Christ cannot sin because he is the Son of God. This is what the temptation of Christ actually showed. In verse 2, Matthew 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Jesus Christ proved during the temptation that he was God. The whole point of the temptation of Christ is not that he simply overcame temptation. No, it's not that. The whole purpose of the temptation of Christ is to show us that he could not ever be tempted. This is referring to the immutability of Christ. You see, before the temptation of Christ, he was completely emptied. This was revealed when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This alone should have proven who he was. But God went further than that, and God allowed Satan to tempt Christ after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It was after all of this that Jesus Christ was led by Satan into the wilderness. It was after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights that Satan came to him with three temptations, which proved when Christ was tempted by any of them that he was the true Son of God. The reason Satan desired to tempt Christ was so that he would know whether Christ was real or not. It is very interesting to see that Satan does not even know who Jesus Christ is. If Christ did not succumb to the temptation of Satan, Satan would know he is God. That's why the temptation took place. But if Christ succumbed to any of the temptations hurled at him by Satan, Satan would know that Jesus Christ was a fake. But Jesus Christ did not fall for any of the false temptations that Satan put before him. Satan left him. That proves that Jesus Christ is of God. Notice, in the book of James 1 and verse 13 through verse 15, this Bible verse states, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The Bible states very clearly here that every man is tempted by his own lust and he's enticed. This passage, James 1, verse 13 through 15, informs us that God cannot be tempted with evil. That's why the temptation of Christ failed. Christ is God. He cannot be tempted with evil. Verse 14 states that every man is tempted. You see, but Christ is more than simply a man. There are two natures in Christ. There's the perfect human nature, and then there's the perfect God nature. Jesus Christ is two in the flesh. He is God. He is all God. And yet, he is all man. The temptation of Christ proved that Jesus Christ is all God. The temptation of Christ proved that here's a man that's all man, and Satan had to go away. There's nothing else that he can do with that at all. Jesus Christ, therefore, is the perfect substitution for our sins because he is all man, and yet he is all God. Jesus Christ understands sin. He has never once fallen into sin's trap. Never once has Jesus Christ even come close to sinning. Christ is the only self-sufficient sacrifice that God will accept. Every man is drawn away of his own lust. At least, that is what the Bible states in the book of James 1 and verse number 14. The Bible says here, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Jesus Christ had no lust. He had no desire for anything except to do his Father's will when he came to this earth. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the perfect one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ is all God. He's all man. But Jesus Christ came to die for me on the cross of Calvary. You see, every other man is drawn away of his own lust. But Jesus Christ had no lust at all. It is absolutely impossible for him to be drawn away from perfection by his own lust. Why? Because he has no lust at all. Jesus Christ's desire when he came was to do his Father's will. And that's as plain as that can be said. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the only one that ever was made like that. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He is the only sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 7, verse 26 and 27 states this, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Jesus Christ is just like that. Hebrews 7, verse 26 absolutely states that. Jesus Christ is completely separated from sinners. He is able to help us exceedingly, truthfully. Jesus Christ must be totally separated from sin in order to help us. Listen, we need a sacrifice that will be accepted by God Himself. And Jesus Christ is the perfect one to come and shed His own blood on the cross of Calvary for us. Christ is holy. Christ is harmless. Christ is undefiled. Christ is separate from sinners. Christ was made holy. He is higher than the earthly heavens. Christ is completely separate from us because He is totally human, yet totally God. This is what makes Jesus Christ the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 7, verse 26 and 27 compares the Jewish high priest with Christ. When the priest offered a sacrifice, they had to first offer an offering for their own sins. But Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. Why? Because He had no sins. Jesus Christ is the perfect one. He had no sins at all. And He is able, by His death on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ is able to die for sinners. He is the only one that's able to do all of that. Christ never had to offer sacrifice for His own sins, because He had none. Jesus Christ is absolutely perfect with nothing at all to stain Him. He is God in the flesh. He has come among men not to mock us, not to make fun of us. Rather, He has come to live the perfect life and die the perfect death, something none of us could ever do, but He did that for us, not for Himself. He willingly gave Himself for us. Jesus Christ, you see, loves us so much that He gave Himself, His own person, on the cross of Calvary. But Jesus Christ could not stay dead once He died. He was dead for 3 days and three nights to prove to the world that He was dead. On the third day, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Remember that His death, the burial, and the resurrection was for us. It was not for Him. He had no sins. Therefore, He didn't need to die. But because we have sins, we will all die because of those sins. Jesus Christ has paid for our eternal hell on the cross of Calvary, forgiving us of taking His life, forgiving us of killing Him. I'm thankful that His sacrifice is sufficient to take care of our sins.
You know, isn't it absolutely amazing the Creator of the universe came down to this world to live through temptation, to overcome trials, and to completely go through those things in a perfect state, and then to be crucified and raise again, and He did it all to redeem me from my sin and to give me eternal life. You know, we often think about the crucifixion of Christ, but as Pastor Reynolds pointed out, you know, He went through many trials and temptations even before the crucifixion, and He overcame each and every one of them, and He did it because He knew that I couldn't do it. You know, what an absolutely pure and perfect sacrifice that Jesus Christ was. You know, and we absolutely serve such an amazing God, and we can be so thankful that He has allowed us to be part of the spreading of the gospel message. You know, we're quickly running out of time this morning, so we do want to take just a second here to invite you to come and join us for services this morning. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and the services are going to be beginning at about 10 a.m. with Sunday school. We'll have 11 a.m. worship services, a 3:45 prayer meeting, and then 4:30 worship services. And we do again want to thank you for listening this morning, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.